Yes, cups of tea.
Cups of tea? Well, I can't really remember what I was going to say, but I can tell you a story about a cup of tea. Would you like that?
Yes.
It was in the war. Yes. You have to remember. Yes. I ought to tell you that, I suppose it's natural. I seem to remember so many more things that made these kind of ideas and so on not so much inappropriate as quite irrelevant. Because, you see, I did all my visiting, I did so much visiting during the war, under war conditions, that some things, some ideas people came out with just seemed a bit odd compared with my work. For instance, I was telling you before Horton too had this system before 58. Well, all the time I was there, people could be certified, and we would act on this, what I think was in many cases the right thing to do. Said the man in Munn's trial was still certified. Some people are horrified at this idea, and would, when the patient was considered well enough to go out, should have been discharged outright, which the law would have allowed.
Mm-hmm.
But in many cases, it gave the man a chance to come back to the hospital straight away with no difficulty. Somebody could ring up, things had gone wrong, a car would be sent to the nurse and he would come straight back, and this would save having to get mental health officers and all this business. Mm-hmm. There were occasions when it seems to me it was quite a good idea for those days. Mm-hmm. And so, I would often, when asking for an address during the war, be told, give them the address, and that's where the letters would be, and one or another would go to the address every day, so that if you write, we will get the letter. But, of course, we spend our days in the tube.
Yes.
And they'd tell me which tube. And I would do my visiting, both my visit on pre-trial to discover what the domestic situation was to which the patient would go.
Yes.
And then I would go and see him there. And I would arrange that to go by a train, which was the train to come into the particular platform. Mm. They would tell me they had their bunks. And I would just get out and stand there until somebody owned me, you see. And they would call or wave or come and get me, and I would go and do my tour with them all crowded around with everybody else.
Gosh.
And you saw quite a different side of everybody, because their neighbours would be there and everybody would know I was coming. And very often they would all envy the man that he, you know, think, don't see why you should bother to come. I wish I could go and spend a month out there where you've got all your meals and you had all your rations and it was safe, you never had any air rays. But he would say, oh, I'd rather be here with Mum.
Mm-hmm.
And things were rather different when people talked about schedules, shouldn't you?
Yes.
Drink tea, it seemed so odd. What I was going to say was, and this is one again that nobody else would like it to have because it was connected with the GPI. Mm-hmm. And we had a man in, and his wife had been tested by her own doctor when it was discovered what was wrong. And her blood test was positive. She was advised to have a lumbar puncture.
Mm.
And this was positive. And she knew enough to know what it meant. And it was thought perhaps it would be. We didn't know at that time that she knew that she was positive. We only knew that her blood was, and we were told that she was positive. And it was thought it would be a good idea for me to go to see her rather than write any letters. And put to her the fact that if she would need treatment, we could give it to her.
Yes.
And talk the whole thing out with her. And so I wrote to say that I would go on a certain day, and it really was pretty miserable because she lived right in the north of London and I was living right in the south of London, and the air raid always came at 6 o'clock at that time, and this was all right, unless you happen to be going between, say, Charing Cross and Waterloo, or anywhere where you got caught, because they cut the... They made it impossible to go over the river in the tube.
Yes.
And so you were stuck all night. And that wasn't much fun. And so at the back of my mind, oh, it was the question that it would be nice to be the right side of the river by 6 o'clock when the race nearly always came, that particular time. However, I went up to Stone Newington or somewhere, and she was a very forbidding sort of person, very cold and very, she was a big woman. And she was rather snappy, and she invited me in. She took me into the little used sitting room, which was cold and smelly. And don't know how we got on at all. Not a bit well. She was very bitter against her husband. Certainly, was I asking her to go to the mental hospital because of all this, and there was nothing wrong with her. And altogether, didn't seem to be getting very far. I asked, would she like to think it over again? Should I come to see her again? And she was quite sticky, really. But when I thought, yes, she'd agreed, she would like to think it over, and perhaps she would see me again, or she would write to the hospital, I thought, well, I really is there more I can do. She knows the facts as well as I do. And so I would make a move to go. And she said, will you stay and have a cup of tea? And she, her attitude up to there had been one where I very seldom got out without a cup of tea. But it looked as if I might on this occasion. I was quite willing. I don't much like tea of any sort. And the tea people gave you was on the principle of the warmer the welcome, the stronger the tea. So usually I just took tea because it seemed the right thing to do on the occasion. And on this occasion, I wouldn't have minded not having tea. But just as I was wondering if I could say no, I remembered that as she showed me into this room, I had a glimpse in the kitchen of a tray with cups on.
Yes.
This was at the worst part of the war, when nobody had cups and saucers to match. And nobody had cups and saucers to match. Either they'd all gone by then, or you had blocked them away for the
duration. Yeah.
And you had mugs.
Yes.
Or odd cups. And these were the sort of cups and saucers that you saw before the war. And so she'd done it beforehand. She prepared a cup of tea. So I said yes. And she brought the tea in, and not as most people do, either cake, or I have had bread and butter pudding for tea before now, but tarts, obviously, homemade jam tarts, and this was a war.
Yes.
And she poured me out a cup of tea and gave me a tart, and I sipped the tea. She did nothing, but I can remember she was so tense sitting there doing nothing with her cup of tea. And it was too hot. And so, as not to waste time, when I put it down, I took up the tart and bit into it. And she flopped down amongst her tea and tart and things and burst into tears and sobbed and sobbed. And I went on eating the tart because I didn't really know what else to do.
Yes.
And I drank the tea. And then she told me that after she'd had the blood test, before she knew the result of the other, she had decided that she was infectious, that she couldn't speak to anybody, they would get it through her voice, and she'd been in for 6 days. And she wouldn't even speak to the neighbour over the wall because she wasn't sure that she wouldn't infect her. And she couldn't believe a word anybody said because the doctor had said, oh, we'll give you a blood test but you'll be all right. And she wasn't. And then he said, give your lamb a puncture. And she had been told, mm-hmm. oh, this is what made it the visit not seem very worthwhile, because we didn't know mm-hmm. that he had been told. Yeah. And so she couldn't believe anybody. And then the hospital sends somebody up to see her. And she wouldn't believe a word I said either, because she couldn't believe anybody. Mm. And she thought that at least if she asked me, was she infectious to other people, mm-hmm. she wouldn't believe what I said. Mm. And but she was sure that the hospital wouldn't send me if I were really if she were really infectious from mm. the point of view of talking to another person who would never let me come in. Mm. So she could trust that I had enough savvy not to come, or the hospital mm. wouldn't send me if she really was as infectious as up to mm. then she had believed herself mm. and wouldn't even speak to the neighbour over the wall. And she wouldn't believe a word, but she set a trap. Mm. Cake, she might have bought. She wouldn't have handled. Tarts, she would have had to use her hands. So she made tarts. And she trapped me. And this, I've often heard the APSW talking about the person controlling the interview, having mm. the interview the way she wanted, even mm. manipulating the PSW. Mm. I walked straight into my trap, and of course it was the best thing that could possibly have happened to her. She'd eaten her tart, she was all right. Yes. And she burst out and cried and cried and cried. Mm. And she was wonderful after that, you know. She mm. felt so much better. And one thing I always did, it was not a question of structure or technique, I did it for my own benefit during the war. I always, when I went out, asked, "Well, which do you think is the best way for me to get to somebody?" Because the situation changed all the time.
Yes.
Look up all the dear gravies in the yes. world, but I still wouldn't know what they would know about yes. getting out of that area. And so on this occasion I did the same thing as I went. And she said, "Oh, but I'll come with you."
Yes.
And obviously it was the right thing to do. She had yes. been 6 days.
Yes.
So I couldn't enter into an argument about things like cups of tea. They, mm. in theory, because yes. I don't know them, it may be a very bad thing to do mm. in some circumstances.
That's
it's a long story. That's I can't tell this mm. sort of thing quickly and concisely.
No, no, I don't want you to. No, it's much better the way you're telling it. Yes.
They all ruined that day.
Let me see whether you can remember another an illustration or anecdote about this one, because so the time I started in social work, there's definitely the general feeling was that to be directive in any way whatsoever was to be was anti-casework and was in conflict with casework values. I mean, that was shifting a bit by the time I did my training, but I started work in 57, and but that kind of permissive, sort of non-directive, you know, you can do what you like, say what you like, you know, it was definitely the feeling. And I guess it must have been, on my reading anyway of the texts of the time you were doing your training and working, that must have been the feeling then. But you go and work in adult psychiatric field, of course they're there, they've well got to be there. They were very directive.
I just
wonder, sort of, I mean, whether, you know, in your mind, in your head, you...
I will tell you a story and leave it to you to see if you think it applies to that. Mm. I was for a time, and this I won't discuss anymore because it's funny, but I was for a time a tutor at St. Eber's for a year just to help them out. But...
Tutor to the...
To the mental health,
yes.
course.
Yes.
It was at the time when Mrs. McDougall would have gone, yes. and instead she went to LSE.
Yes.
And things were so advanced that they had needed someone to take her place. She was going to St. Evans. So I went, but it was certainly not the best conditions then, because I went without knowing the hospital.
Yes.
And again, I believe that you have to know your place before you begin to have a sort of authority. I've always had the feeling you have to know an awful lot about an awful lot of things all around the particular thing you're talking about. If you're dredging up from your bare bit of knowledge, it doesn't work to the same extent. You really are able much better to help when you've got so much knowledge around it, even to such small things as to the difference between the hospitals because you're in. But I did go I did know the wards and I knew the people. And I did go up with my students to the observation ward at St. John's, where the psychiatrist from St. Evers also went. And saw a man, and I'm going to wait around to tell you, perhaps I'd better tell you that amongst the people, the nurses at St. Evers, was one man who had been a sergeant major in the 1918 war, and almost anybody would have spotted that without being told. And I can remember the social worker at St. Evers, who didn't take the students I would aim to take, a little bit feeling amongst the things one might have to apologise to students who were exposed to the training, was that this man, you know, he has got quite a kind heart. It isn't like he would appear to be. I know, but it'll send shudders through the students to hear him barking, just Sergeant Major time. This day at the clinic, one of the people who had been a patient at St. Edward's was sort of being maintained by coming to the clinic, and he came one day and he was worse. And he was hearing voices, and he was fearful that he would respond to them. And the psychiatrist said, I think you ought to come back. I think you should come back to us. What do you think? And he said, well, I didn't want to, if you say so. And he said, well, you must make your mind up, but I would advise it. And if you like to wait and come back and see me next week, what do you think? And he thought. And he said, could I go to Cedar Ward, I think it was called. And she said, why? He said, I'll be all right with Sergeant, with Mr. Williams, because no voices will stand against him. It'll simply tell him to go.
Yes.
And I think it's a lovely story about he was never direct. He really was a complete sergeant major in his manner, his voice, the way he talked to people as well. No voices will stand against Mr. Williams.
Yes, it's a lovely story. You haven't talked about the writing of the dement in the community. Being sort of kind of, I still feel you being also kind of modest about it. I mean, you just thrown in that little thing about, well, you were a tutor for the course for a year, but I'll say no more about that. You haven't said anything about the dement in the...
What can I tell you about the dement?
Well, I mean, how did you come to write it? I mean, who put that idea into your head to write that?
Give me a minute.
Yeah, I'll need a minute.